You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
What will bring revival to our country and maybe even the world? You know, many would say that it's prayer. But with more people praying than ever before, maybe there's something more that we could be doing. Well, that's what we're going to focus on in this study on Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Our lesson in 1 Thessalonians continues in just a moment. So go ahead and open your Bible to chapter 2, verse 14. And as you do that, I've asked Greg Harris, Through the Bible's president and my friend, to come tell us about what we're learning about how God works in Africa with Through the Bible. So hi, Greg.
Hey, Steve. We want to talk about a wonderful trip that we had a chance to take with some other colleagues to Africa. And the point of these trips is for us to see what God is doing, to discern it, to lend our support to what people are doing with Through the Bible around the world, and then to bring back to our supporting family, those who are praying, those who have a missionary call to pray with us. This is a prayer update.
Greg and I both went to Africa. We started in different countries. Greg went to Uganda, which he's going to talk about in a minute. I went to Ethiopia, and what a time in Ethiopia I had. It was wonderful. Originally, we were going to have 10 or 15 pastors come, and we were going to be asking you to be praying for those 10 or 15 pastors as they got some training in small groups, and then they were going to go out and start to administer and train other leaders to then host those small groups. And what normally happens happened once again. Word got out that we were doing this, and 10 to 15 became, I think, 65 that came in for training in three languages. So we had Wakshuma, our translator, hearing it in English and then translating it into two other languages.
Yeah, probably Oromo and Amharic, probably,
over the course of 2.5 days, and it was incredible to see the excitement of these pastors who had traveled from all over Ethiopia and parts of Somalia, a very difficult place to even be alive, much less be a Christian, to come and get trained. And they had such a sweet spirit. They were so excited about being able to take this resource and go back to their people with it and start these home groups.
Yeah,
so you could be praying for that.
Absolutely. And I think Steve just answered the question, why do we travel? Because you can hear the passion in his voice that we need to pray for this. And guess what? God opened the door for us to go to Africa. We did not sit in a strategy session. but it was literally like the Macedonian call. A gentleman from Scandinavia connected George Philip in India with Wakshuma and some others in Ethiopia, and they said, please come over here and bring Through the Bible home groups.
It's like hanging on to whatever you want to picture, a dog sled or a rocket
roller coaster. Yeah.
We're just along. We're being proactive and intentional, but we just see the Spirit of God moving in so many different ways around the world, and in this case with Ethiopia.
Yes, as we often have said to our listening family, planning for us is how we execute what God shows us to do. So we are not just sitting around being haphazard. I hope people know we like to enjoy the fact that we're just not that smart, and God is way smarter than we are, but we work very hard at the execution side.
Yeah. So, now, you weren't in Ethiopia with
me. No, I was a little jealous that you were there, but I was having a wonderful time in Uganda, and you and I, of course, had been there about 2 years ago, and it was very similar. We drove all over the country, more than 5 hours every day.
Been there, done that.
In the
That's
car,
a hard ride.
But it was worth it. We were visiting radio stations, doing live interviews, and visiting listeners, which is the greatest thing in the world. And here was what impressed me more on this trip than even the last one that you and I took. It seemed like everywhere we went, more than half of the people, when we'd say, are you a pastor, they'd raise their hands.
Yeah.
And so the impact that Through the Bible is having on the church of Uganda, the leadership of Uganda, that's really incredible.
Yeah, it is so exciting. And then
we
came together in a third country.
Together because we missed each other.
Yes, we went to Kenya, and this was something new for us. We hosted
a ministry conference.
A ministry conference
partnership conference.
With like-minded ministries, and we had the leaders from those ministries come in, and some of it was, you know, sharing about each other's ministries, and I think I was more excited about the coffee breaks than I was about the actual presentations, just because of the networking that was happening and the growth and people finding out how they can be working together on the ground, spreading the gospel using their ministries.
And we had, Steve, over 40 different ministries. There were over 60 people, 60 or 70 people. And the same as the Ethiopian conference, yeah. we actually were trying to keep this small so that it would be truly collaborative and not just yeah. a lot of speeches.
Yes.
And so that's, again, what we want to ask you to be praying for is there were so many ministries that were discussed. We're talking about new languages. We're talking about home groups in different parts of East Africa. We're talking about linking with the Jesus Film and with the YouVersion, the Bible app, and Shareware Global. And this is, if you care about, of course we love if you care about Through the Bible, but we all should care about the Church of Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Yes.
And we were trying to support the body of Jesus Christ in East Africa.
Yeah, it has been such an exciting time to be there, and I'm looking forward to the fruit that we're going to see.
Yes.
And you know, you as our listeners and those that faithfully pray for this ministry, you can be praying that those relationships would go well. You know that it's not always a smooth interaction
yeah,
as you get
right.
different people with different, whether it's ministries or work or relationships. There's still sinners that
yes.
are running
we
those
all
programs.
Have the flesh.
They're saved
yeah.
by grace, but
yes.
there's still the flesh there. So you can be praying for unity, and you can be praying for the Spirit to be using our efforts to make His name known throughout Africa. And Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study in 2 Thessalonians?
Father, we always are humbled in our hearts to consider that you would even let us be part of what you want to do around the world, taking your word in so many ways and to so many people, and we are humbled that we get to play a part. Thank you, all of us, Lord, those who pray, those who give, those of us that get to work in this ministry daily, we are just all part of a team that is helping to accomplish your purposes, and we pray you do that not only around the world, but in our lives now as we study. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now let's turn to 2 Thessalonians as we make our way through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we come today to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and we're putting in today at verse 14. Now, this second chapter is actually a very remarkable chapter, by the way, because you have here the coming of Christ is a working hope. That is, it gets right down where the rubber meets the road. And we have seen already in this chapter the motive and method of a true witness for Christ. And this man, Paul, was giving out the word of God. And it irritated people, that is some, because it's salt. And if it gets in a fresh wound, that is where the sin in the life. Word of God, I tell you, is like salt. Then we saw him revealing something that I feel today is needed in the churches. And here I go again as a retired preacher trying to tell the church what it should do. But may I say that I had to listen to it for years, so maybe I ought to get even. At least I'm going to venture this and believe that that's exactly what Paul is saying here, that the church should mirror the family of God down here on this earth. Now, I do not mean what I hear today over and over again. Our church is a family church. Well, I understand by that statement what they mean is this. Bring the whole family to church, and we'll send little Susie that's in the nursery. We'll put her over in a little bed. We got one for her. And we'll send Junior off with a bunch of other little brats his age, and he'll be at his peer group. And then we take the teenager and put the teenagers together. And then Mom and Pop, they go off with the couples class, and Grandma and Grandpa go with the senior citizens. Now, they call that a family church. Paul would know nothing about that type of thing today. And very candidly, I'm not sure that he would approve of it. But what he means here is that the church should reveal in a community what a family should reveal. A husband, wife, married relationship, and the child in the home should reveal the threefold aspect of the love of Christ and of God for the world today. For instance, the husband has a responsibility, the wife and the child. We saw that in Ephesians. Now here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul has already given to us the mother side of the church, the local church. And he was a mother to the church yonder in Thessalonica. The word here is a mother bird. And he didn't work 8 hours a day. He was on the job all the time for them because he was a mother to them. And then he developed the father side. And you need the father side. The tragedy today of divorces, I think that probably there are a lot of couples that ought to separate because of the fact that they are fighting like cats and dogs, and they can get out of the ring if they separate and quit fighting. But very frankly, the tragedy is the child in the home, because that child ought to experience the mother love, and it ought to experience the father love. And that father love is expressed in discipline. And Paul says he was a father to the church yonder in Thessalonica. Now, you will recall that we left off last time here in verse 13. Let me go over that again. It's so important. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We mentioned last time that Paul not only emphasized the fact that the word had gone out in power and in the Holy Spirit, and he's going to talk about that again, we're going to see, went out in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the way we should give it out and pray that the Spirit of God should use it. But you see, the other side of the coin says to the believer, how do you receive the Word of God? Do you receive it as it is indeed the Word of God? I have heard this, and I'm not going to give the name of the man, but one of the great English preachers that had a war ministry and had a very effective ministry worldwide in his own church in Africa, made up there largely of white people, by the way, although it was in Africa, that it was the coldest church that any person could ever be in. Why? Because of the preacher in the pulpit? No, he was giving out the word and doing it in a warm way. That is, he was giving out the word as God revealed it to him, but the way the people received it. And something that absolutely breaks contact and short circuits the word of God today is the way some churches receive the word of God. And God have mercy on a church. And I've observed this over the years, that when a church is given a Bible teaching preacher and they misuse him and abuse him and do not receive the word of God that he gives, God will practically shut the door of that church. And I've seen that happen, friends, time and time again. The word of God is not only to go out in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, but it's to be received as the word of God. That is important today. That's what makes contact. And when contact is made, how tremendous it is. Now we come to the brother side. Now, the brother side is also important. That's the child side, and there is a responsibility. And here is where the brother aspect is. Verse 14, listen to him here. Now, this is the brother side of the apostles' ministry. For ye brethren, and that's brothers, for ye brothers became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now, what is it that makes brothers today? There are two things that make brothers. We are all brothers, irrespective of color or anything, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in that category. We are blood brothers, if you please, because of the fact of sin. And that's put us all in the human family. That's a brotherhood of sinners. And since it is, it's not a loving brotherhood. You better watch your brother. That is the other human being, by the way. For ye brethren. Now, how are they becoming brothers and drawn together? He says, because ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen. Now, the Thessalonian church was largely a Gentile church. And the Gentiles, it was a Roman colony there in Thessalonica, they persecuted the early Christian. And they were causing them a great deal of difficulty at this time, although the great persecutions under the emperors had not yet broken out. But they were suffering in Thessalonica. Now, Paul could say, well, you know, before you, the brethren over in Jerusalem, they suffered from their brothers, that is, racial brothers. And now this has drawn you two together. What is it drew them together? Suffering drew them together. And suffering is the cement that holds believers together. You know, the church today is coming unglued. And the reason, I think, is because it's like we're going to find later on in one of the prophets, Hosea, he says, Ephraim waxed fat and kicked. That is, they entered a period of affluence, and they became very critical. And today, the church in this country right now is in affluence. And I'll be very frank with you, I think persecution is around the corner today. I could give you quotations from certain leaders that are very remarkable. Let me just give you one. Mr. Melvin Laird at the convention up in San Francisco, why, he made this statement, and I don't know why he made it, but I took the clipping out of a magazine where he's reported to have said that he felt that Christians would have to suffer for their faith. Well, that would, to me, a very strange statement coming from him at a political convention. But that was the report that was given. Well, there are many others that are saying now, and we today pray for revival. I know any number of prayer groups that meet together and they pray for revival. Let me say this. I've never heard of one of them yet praying that they all might suffer or be persecuted, that revival might come. And very candidly, I do not think under the present state in this country we're going to have revival. Now, right now, there is a renewed interest in the Word of God that is tremendous. And there's some reporting it as revival. I don't call it that. But we feel our program came in on the wave of this renewed interest in the Word of God. And it's the reason people are listening to the Word of God. I don't call it revival. I tell you, when revival gets here, nobody's going to ask the question, is this revival? They're going to say, this is it. And we haven't yet arrived. But I do believe that if suffering came to the church, it would draw believers together. And we'd cut out all this nonsense of picky, the other fella. He doesn't do it like I do. He's got a little peculiar doctrine. He feels like you should be baptized this way. My friend, today, are you a child of God? Then you're a brother of mine. I want you to know that. You may disagree with me, but you're my brother. You're my brother because we're in the family of God, and we should mirror that before the world. And when the church mirrors that before the world, then revival's going to come. I think that we are trying to take a detour and a shortcut to revival for praying for revival. Why don't we pray for the conditions that produce a revival? And you will find out that it was man's extremity that brought revival at times in the past. The great Wesley movement came out of the dark day in England when they were on the verge of a revolution. We're not far from it either. And today, we need to recognize that it'll take that sort of thing to produce revival. Now, that's not going to make me popular with certain groups, but somebody needs to tell them. You see, that's what Paul says here, and I'm merely just parroting what he said. Now, he goes on, verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 2, who both kill the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now, I consider this a remarkable passage of Scripture, and it reveals a great principle. God permits sin to run its full course. And the figure of speech that the prophets used was that the cup of iniquity must be filled up, and God's permitting it to be filled up. In other words, God won't check it, because if he did check it, Satan would say, see, you didn't give me a chance. You wouldn't permit me to go all the way. Now, God's going to let him go all the way. And I interpret the great tribulation as that, by the way. Now, will you notice verse 17 here that we have? Now you have the reward of a true witness of Christ. Listen to him. But we, brethren, here he goes again. This is brotherhood. This is real brotherhood, by the way. This is the real ecumenical movement. When you're in Christ, you see, we're all brothers in Christ. But I tell you, outside of Christ, we'll cut each other's throat. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Isn't that lovely of the Apostle Paul? Paul has run out of Thessalonica, and he said, I hated to leave you, and I want to come to you again. And he did, by the way. Verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan, or the adversary, hindered us. Now, Paul has a spiritual discernment to see that it was Satan's strategy that kept him from going to Thessalonica. And Satan here means adversary. I believe that Satan would hinder this program of getting the Word of God out, and we have seen several instances of it. We were on a radio station in which we were reaching an entire area, and things were going so nicely, and a godless man bought that station, and he put all religious programs off. There were other good programs on that station, and he put them off. Why? The enemy, the adversary, he doesn't want the Word of God given out. Now, listen to Paul, verse 19 now. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Now, Paul says that one of the greatest things that the coming of Christ to take his church out are going to be these people that he led to Christ. By the way, friends, is there anybody going to be in heaven that's going to come up to you and thank you for having part in giving out the Word of God to them that got them saved? Have you given to missions? And there probably will come somebody way out yonder in a place and a person you never even heard of, and going to say, I want to thank you for giving to missions. I want to thank you for being interested in getting the Word of God out, because it came to me because of that. And that, my friend, is going to be part of the reward that we get in heaven. Oh, that you and I recognize that. It's one thing to believe that Jesus is going to take the church out of the world. It's another thing to have somebody to go along with you that trusted Christ because of you. We leave off right there today, and we'll pick up there next time, friends, at the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians. All right, until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
You know, it's true. I can't think of anything better than someone turning to Jesus because of what they saw and heard in our lives individually. And I also pray that together we meet countless people who are in heaven with us because we offered our prayers and support to Through the Bible's worldwide ministry. You know, we have so many choices here in North America, but for many people, Through the Bible is the only way that they'll hear of Jesus Christ. Think about that. And thank you to those who specifically pray as a World Prayer Team member and those of you who provide the much-needed financial support. You know, we'd love to have you join us in this mission of reaching the whole world with the whole word. You can do that by visiting ttb.org/pray. You can also go to ttb.org/give or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE to find out how your prayers and financial gifts will share the name of Jesus with those who have not yet heard his name and his offer of salvation, and then will be used by God to grow us up through the knowledge of his word. You can also write to us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Next time, the Bible Bus takes us further down the road on our journey through 1 Thessalonians. Hop aboard and come along.
Jesus made it home. All to him I owe.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know him yet?
Hi, fishing enthusiast. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. Thank you.
One of these.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Jesus Christ, who's worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We're located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We also have a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m., and that telephone number is 732-434-2231. I repeat the number, 732-434-2231. Our church service starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. So now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, what a mighty, mighty service we had Sunday. Glory to God. I tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit was so evident there. And I tell you, there was a lot of people just glorifying God and thanking him for everything that he's done for them during the course of the week. And I want to tell you today that he's right there where you are. If you love him and want to give your heart to him, he can do this very same thing that we experience on Sunday. Praise God. Don't forget, we're the church in the city with the city in his heart. Praise God. We love you. We thank the Lord for the opportunity that we can just come into your homes and speak the truth of God's word, because the Bible tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will abide forever. So if you keep your mind and heart on the word of God, the Lord will bless you. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Pray for our radio listeners and faith partners out there in Radio Land. We ask your blessings to be upon them each and every minute of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, we're talking about salvation. Praise God. We want to tell you that the Lord loves you. He's soon to come back. And I've been led, praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that there are many people out there that have tuned into this broadcast from here and there. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we want to do by the grace of God is to tell you that you don't have to be in a church building to get saved. Right where you are, you can get on your knees and tell the Lord Jesus Christ your problem, and he's the problem solver. And he will bring forth deliverance in your life, give you eternal life. That way, everything will be according to his plan. Praise God. Well, let's look at what the word of God says here today, because the God that we serve is a good God. He's the best. There's none like him throughout this earth. We want to praise him and thank him for everything, because apart from him, we can do nothing, nor do we have anything of any great significance, because he and he alone deserves all the honor and the glory. Praise God.
Amen.
All the honor and the glory. We lift him up. He is the ascended Lord and the risen Savior. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that he loves you so much. The till he went to the cross of Calvary for all of your sins, sicknesses, griefs and sorrow, shortcomings, whatever the problem may be, he took it and nailed it to his cross so that you would have the opportunity to have eternal life, providing that you believe and trust in him. Praise God. In St. John 1 and verse 12, Jesus speaking to John, it says that for as many as received him, see, you have to receive him. You have to open up your heart and ask him to come in. He will not go against your will. He created us all as free moral agencies. And we have the choice if we want to have eternal life by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ come into our lives. So the word tells us there, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, or sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise God. Do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you believe that he is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? If you do, praise God, ask him to come into your heart. He loves you and he wants to save you. It was a divine purpose of him coming into this world to deliver mankind back unto the Father. Minister Gloria, the scriptures tells us all that the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his love and the thing that he's done for us all, that if we truly believe and trust in him, we can have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start after you die. You have eternal life now if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. What does it say in St. John 3 there in verse 16? Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Because when we believe what the Word of God is saying, glory to God, that God loves us so much. Mm-hmm. It was a divine purpose that he came into this world.
Amen.
It's not that he came because he didn't have anything else to do in heaven. He came because all humanity was lost. The world was full of sin. Yes. And still a lot of sin is going on. But if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. So
in John,
yes,
3:16 says, for God so loved the world,
yes,
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Isn't that wonderful? This is why the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that will give you eternal life, providing that you would believe and trust in him. Praise God. And I want to tell you today that it's not about just going into some church building and singing songs and clapping your hands and listening to a three-point message. It's more than that. God loves you so much that he came and he took your place there on the cross of Calvary. Glory to God. He took your place there on Calvary's cross, suffered sickness and disease and griefs and sorrows. He went through all of that so that you would have a right to the tree of life. Jesus is symbolic of the tree of life because in him is life. And if you have him today, you have eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. So God sent his Son in the world. He did that so that you and I would have the right to be saved. Praise God. You know, Jesus didn't come here to condemn this world. And Minister Glory, would you read the 17th verse there? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus didn't come here to condemn us. We already were condemned. We didn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. But providing that when we begin to understand and receive him, listen to what he said in the 17th verse.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
That the world through him might be saved. See, now I want to tell you something. Now, that you see, Buddha cannot save you, and there are a lot of folks that they're religious and they put their trust in Buddha. But I want to tell you today that the bones of Buddha is still in the grave. You see, but the one that I'm talking about today, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his bones are not in the grave. He is risen, praise God. And even with Hare Hare Krishna, the Indian God, let me tell you something. All these things that man has concocted and say, well, that's my God. Well, I tell you, the God that I serve, he's holy and he's righteous, and he never put the burden on me. He took the burden for me, praise God. You see, Hare Hare Krishna, bones are still in the grave. Oh, I want to tell you today, if you're listening to what I'm saying, his bones are still in the grave. You got even Muhammad, Mustafa Muhammad, bones are still in the grave. You see, all those immortal men that cannot give you eternal life. But the one that I'm speaking about today, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is eternal life. He is salvation. Glory to God. And I tell you that he didn't come in this world to condemn the world, only for the world to be saved, that the world might be saved through him. Do you want eternal life? It is a choice of your own. No one can force you. Jesus, he loves you, but he won't go against your will. He loved you so much until he would wait until you invite him in. Minister Glory, we were talking about a while back there that in Revelation 3 and verse 20, when Jesus, it was saying that Jesus, he stands at the door. Right. And we're talking today about salvation. Mm-hmm. Because time is almost up. It's almost over. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back.
Yes, he's coming back.
And when he comes back, I pray to God that you would be right with him. You would bear his name. Have the authority that's been given to us through his name. And thank him for everything that he's done. Minister Glory, would you read Revelation 3 and verse 20? Praise God.
It says, behold, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If, qualifier, any man hear my voice and open the door of your heart, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
Isn't that wonderful? Minister Glory, you know, he will not knock the door down. No. This is why it's so important that whatever problems that we may be going through, or you out there in Radio Land, if you're going through, extend the invitation to the one that makes the difference, the one that can change the total scenario. And his name is Jesus.
Yes.
You see, the door that he's standing behind is the door of your heart. Every one of us have the opportunity, praise God. And from that's figurative language, but the most important thing is that the door that he's standing behind or in front of, it has no doorknob. We often look at a door with doorknobs on the inside and on the outside. Well, the door, he doesn't have a doorknob that he can turn that knob and come in. The doorknob is on the inside of the heart of the believer, or the one that's listening to what Jesus is talking about. So you're the only one that's able to open up that door, because he will never go against your will. If he knocked the door down and come in, then that means that he would go against your will and violate your free moral agency. But he doesn't do that. He waits for you to extend an invitation.
Amen.
Praise God. When you extend the invitation by opening up the door and allowing him to come in, because once the door is open,
yes,
then he is able to come in.
That's right.
And sup with you. Mm-hmm. and you with him.
Amen.
That's very powerful.
Yes.
That's why if you have problems out there in Radio Land today, regardless of the circumstances or the problems that you have, if you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into the situation that's going on in your life, he will come in and change that situation, providing that you open up the door of your heart. Isn't that wonderful, Minister Glory?
Wonderful.
You know, and the whole idea is that he's concerned about everybody.
Everybody.
No matter what problems you may have, he's concerned about it. A lot of folks say, well, it's too minute. I won't talk to God about it. Yes, speak to him, because what happened is that there's nothing too small for him to be concerned about. He's concerned about everything.
Yes.
That's why he came into this world, to bring deliverance to all of our lives. Minister Glory, you have something you want to share?
And that's to everyone. This invitation is to everyone.
Glory to God.
Not just the righteous. It's to everyone that believe on his name.
Amen. Praise God. Well, the scripture tells us that it's not just for us.
No.
And we cannot boast because we're born again and we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. No, there may be people out there that are in the same situation and conditions that we were in prior to our conversion.
Praise the Lord.
This is why we look back and we throw the life raft out to those that are out there that are sinking.
Yes.
You don't have to sink. You don't have to be in the condition that you're in. Turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring deliverance in your life. He will do just that. Praise the wonderful
Praise
name
the
of our
Lord
God.
Jesus Christ.
You know, Minister Glory, it was looking at the word where it tells us in Colossians 1 where he says that he has delivered us.
All right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Delivered us from the power of darkness.
Yes.
Folks don't have to stay in darkness.
Nope.
They don't have to live the life that are contrary to the word of God. Jesus came to bring deliverance. He came to save you. The scripture tells us that. Mm-hmm. Do you believe what the word of God is saying?
Amen.
That he came to save you. Mm-hmm. You know, in Galatians 4, verse 4,
yes.
Minister Glory, you know, that's a very prominent verse of scripture there that's, that is good for us all, because there was a time when Jesus came. He didn't just come on his own. And there's going to be another time when he comes. The Father's going to send him to get his children.
Amen.
Praise God. And I pray to God that everybody out there in Radio Land, and even if you don't know him, you get yourself right with God and be one of his children. Praise God. You know, in Galatians 4, you want to read that?
And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman.
Yes.
Made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's
Praise
wonderful.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, woohoo, glory, Abba, Father.
We can call him daddy. We can call him daddy because we belong to him. But those out there in Radio Land, there that you can't call him daddy, because you're not one of his children, but you can be. God is no respecter of person, and like I said, he loves you. Praise God. The scripture tells us that. The word of God tells us that. And when we abide in the word of God and believe what it says, you know, you may not be part of a church affiliation. You may be, maybe you don't even go to church. But I want to tell you, he still loves you, and he has given you the opportunity to hear the word of God so that you can make the decision to give your heart to him.
Amen.
You know, Minister Glory, it's not his will anyway that any perish.
Nope.
Isn't that something? God doesn't want you to perish.
Nope. He wants all to come to repentance.
Amen. Hallelujah. In him is life.
Yes.
And this is why he wants you to have eternal life. Praise God.
Yes.
And the reason I'm speaking on eternal life here is because it's almost midnight. The curtain's almost about to close. And you know, in the natural, when they close the curtain, that means that the play is over. And here, from a spiritual standpoint, the time is almost over.
Amen. It is.
All the signs and the prophecies have been fulfilled.
Yes.
Even as I speak, it tells us that Jesus is soon to come.
Amen.
We don't know when he's going to come, and we don't know what he looks like, but we do know one thing, that when he comes back, we'll be like him.
Glory to God.
Because we'll see him as he is.
Amen.
And I want you to see him as he is. But the only way that you can see him as he is that you have to be like him.
Yes.
Praise God. You have to be one of his children. Amen. Because he's coming back for the second time. Matter of fact, in Hebrew 9 and verse 28 there, Minister Glory, would you just read that for a moment?
Okay.
Since that popped up in my spirit, because he's coming back a second time.
Yes.
Praise God. Without sin.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many.
Yes, he did.
And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
The second time. So he's coming back. Are you looking for him today? There are folks that are even confessing, carrying a Bible, and they are going to church. The question is, are you looking for him?
Looking for him.
Amen. Is your mind on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it just the mundane and humdrum way of life today, where you just taking things as it is instead of occupying until he comes? This is what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
As children of God. We occupy until he comes. Praise God. Because we know that he's coming back.
Yes.
Praise God. And we're trying, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak to as many people as we can to tell them to get right with God, to be reconciled back to God. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. You have a verse of scripture you want to read?
Well, the first John.
Yes.
First John 5, amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Where it says, let me read 11 and 5, First John 5:11. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And his Son is Jesus. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. So you will not go back with him if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's coming back for a church, a holy church, without a spot or wrinkle or blemish.
Well, he's speaking of eternal life. There are a lot of people that have life. They're walking about. But the sad part about it is that they have life, but they are condemned. And you don't have to be condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can condemn you. But it tells us there that if you don't believe on him, that you are condemned already. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to walk around with your grave clothes on. I say grave clothes. I'm talking about the same clothes that Lazarus had on to a certain extent there, grave clothes. You can get out of those grave clothes and get this white robe of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to give you. I know I'm speaking to some people out there, and some of you may not even address the issue concerning salvation. You would say, well, I'm doing good. I don't hate anyone. I don't have problems with my neighbors. I don't commit murder, or I don't speak evil of people. All these things that one will say.
Self-righteousness.
Yes, they're operating in a state of self-righteousness. But that won't get you into the kingdom of God. The only one that will get you into the kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door of the sheepfold. And the scripture tells us that if any man climbeth up any other way, he's a thief or a robber. You got to come through the door of the sheepfold. Isn't that wonderful, Mr. Gordon? Right.
And Jesus said, he is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, he's the only one that's able to allow us to come in, to go in and out of the sheepfold. Praise God. I pray today that you would have a desire, not through forcing or having someone to force you to make an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that is not love. If someone forces you, that's not love. You come on your own volition. You look at what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. This is what you take notice of. And when you do that, and you see that he suffered the shame and all of the griefs and sorrow, he took your place there on Calvary, then you make the decision whether you want to be with him throughout the ages of eternity. There are a lot of folks today, they have not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ in the truest sense. But I want to tell you, he loves you so much. Amen. This is why he went there on Calvary's cross to die for your sins. That's what he's done, die for my sins. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 2, Minister Glory, would you read that quickly so that we can get that verse of scripture in, because I want to let you know that he didn't die just for the righteous.
No. For he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
So the whole world lies in sin, and this is why not just the righteous. The scripture tells us that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to extend this invitation to you. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, as we close this broadcast, is vitally important that you hear these words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
But first, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, did you hear that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. Well, we thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning into the broadcast. The only thing I request at the leading of the Holy Spirit is that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. It's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.